Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
This is Nightline.
Tonight, Glee curse. My oh my. The last images of the TV actress gone missing. Her four-year-old son found alone in a boat.
We have a missing person, but mom's nowhere to be found.
The haunting image on social media. A new dark chapter in the troubled history of the show starring unsung underdogs. Plus, Phoenix rising in the worst kind of way.
50% of all the calls that this station does are COVID calls.
How can you possibly social distance in close quarters?
Usually when one person gets it, the whole house is going to get it.
Long lines on the front lines, the newest hotspot.
Nightline starts right now with Byron Pitts.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. She's best known for her breakout role in the hit TV series Glee. Tonight, actress Naya Rivera, missing, sparking an all-out search and reviving memories of a troubled cast with a tragic past. Here's ABC's Kaylee Hartung.
911.
Lake Piru. Emergency is we have a missing person.
A nightmare comes to life on this California lake.
This just seems like a tragic accident. You come out here for a great day and something bad happens.
Actress Naya Rivera, last seen alive in this surveillance video, leaving the dock for a fun afternoon with her four-year-old son. Now presumed dead after going missing Wednesday. Her son was found safely asleep on board their pontoon rental by another boater who called 911 when they realized the child was alone on the boat.
No signs of foul play, no signs of anything that went wrong besides a tragic accident.
The 33-year-old made her mark on the hit TV show Glee as the sharp-tongued Santana.
And if you ever tell anyone this, I'll deny it. But I like being in Glee Club. It's the best part of my day, okay?
On Thursday, co-stars, friends, and fans began sharing heartfelt pleas online, hoping for a miracle. Heather Morris writing, "We need your love and light." And Demi Lovato asking followers to pray for her to be found safe and sound. From its first episode, Glee was a cultural phenomenon, drawing 11 million viewers. Fans lovingly referred to themselves as Gleeks. Over the course of six seasons, it was nominated for 40 Emmys, winning six.
Glee was groundbreaking for its diversity, for its storylines, for showing characters of all sexual orientations.
Sadly, Rivera's disappearance isn't the first tragedy to rock the Glee family. The show has been marred by misfortune.
And now to the search for answers tonight after the death of actor Corey Monteith. Just a small town
girl. 7 years ago, lead star Corey Monteith died from an accidental drug overdose shortly before Glee's fifth season. His character, Finn Hudson's death, written into a future episode dedicated to his life. In 2018, another cast member, Mark Salling, who played Puck on the show, died by suicide after pleading guilty to charges of child pornography.
You see that gorgeous smile right here, neither?
Rivera's short life had been almost always in the spotlight, nabbing her first role on the TV show Royal Family at the age of four.
Whenever Grandpa wanted to talk about you, I had to leave the room.
But her big break came with Glee. Come on over. Portraying a lesbian cheerleader was revolutionary at the time.
It's no secret that Brittany and I are together.
And the role rocketed her to fame.
Naya Rivera's role was really groundbreaking, really brought representation to the forefront of television.
Rivera appeared on the cover of Rolling Stone in 2013. That same year, she co-hosted Fashion Police alongside the legendary Joan Rivers.
Okay, my best, I think, was the 2013 GLAAD Awards.
Most recently, she was showing off her dancing skills again as the lead star of the YouTube show Step Up High Water. The show had just been renewed for a third season by cable network Starz.
She was very excited to join that series, which is quite an accomplishment because oftentimes in Hollywood, when characters are so famous from one particular role, they can be typecast. But for Naya, that did not seem to happen.
Rivera was immensely popular on social media, boasting millions of followers across Twitter and Instagram. Just 1 week ago, the actress shared a tweet that now seems prophetic. Make the most of today and every day you are given. Tomorrow is not promised. It was a calm and sunny Wednesday on Lake Piru in Southern California when Rivera rented a pontoon for an afternoon of boating and swimming with her son. The boat was later located on the north side of the lake where 4-year-old Josie was sleeping on board, but Rivera was nowhere to be found.
A basic timeline is that Ms. Rivera and her son came here to enjoy a day at the lake. They rented a boat. Ms. Rivera had been to the lake before. She's familiar with it. And they went out for a day on the lake.
A search and rescue operation was launched Wednesday evening, but at nightfall, the search was paused due to dangerous conditions. Thursday morning, it was relaunched as a recovery mission.
When you have the information that an adult life jacket was left on board, that pontoon boat wasn't anchored, what does that lead you to believe?
It's hard to draw conclusions with just that. You know, it's like I wish that we had a means of, like, you know, really understanding what happened. But they might have innocently just been playing in the water, and any number of things could have happened. Ms. Rivera could have had a medical episode of some sort. We don't know.
With Rivera still missing, questions remain as to what happened on board that led to her disappearance. Authorities struggling to piece together a timeline based off of 4-year-old Josie's recollections.
It can't be easy in your position when your witness is a 4-year-old.
No, because, you know, you want to try and limit the amount of trauma that he's going through.
The boy told police the duo went for a swim, but his mom did not get back on the boat. Low visibility and debris have hampered investigators. The sheriff telling reporters her body may be trapped underwater.
If the body is entangled in something beneath the water, it may never come back up.
By all accounts, Rivera was a doting mom. 2 days ago, the star posted this snap of her and her son with the caption, "Just the two of us."
If you look at the pictures, if you look at what she said in interviews, her son seemed to be her world.
Earlier tonight in Ventura, the case still unresolved as the search for Rivera was called off a second day with no body found. Friends, family, and fans left mourning another Glee life cut short. The actress once sang "If I Die Young" on the show.
If I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on...
What was once a loving tribute to castmate Corey Monteith, now a haunting omen. Another life lost too soon.
Words of a love song.
And coming up, first responders on the front lines of one of the world's largest COVID hotspots, Arizona.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, 10 states setting records for hospitalizations due to COVID-19. In Arizona, 1 in 3 people testing positive. ABC's Matt Gutman on the front lines in Phoenix.
All right, this is a call for an ill person. They're opening up the bay doors, and we're about to hop into one of those.
Phoenix Fire's Engine 25 careens out into the Maryvale neighborhood.
So we just learned that this is a possible COVID call. Everybody's got N95s on it. About 50% of all the calls that this station does are COVID calls.
As COVID-19 rages across the country, Arizona, now one of the world's biggest hotspots, 34% of those tested in the state have the virus. Cases up over 850% since the state reopened on May 15th. Tonight, our Nightline team is with first responders, patients, test administrators, and a doctor, all in the midst of an impossible situation. An explosion of cases amidst the collapse of the testing system. The firefighters we're with have been to this house before. 30-year-old construction worker Martin Molina is helped out of the house. He's had a fever, splitting headaches. The timing couldn't be worse, though. His girlfriend, Yesenia Lopez, had just given birth to their son 3 days earlier. And their 11-month-old daughter has also been running a temperature.
To be honest, I wasn't able to believe of this pandemic, but now I do. Now I'm scared. What am I gonna do? I don't know. I have my two little babies in the house.
She's gonna take care of me if you get sick.
I mean, my mom can help me out, but it's hard, but we'll go through this.
So right now his symptoms are what kind of fall into the mild category, okay? His lungs are nice and clear. That's the thing, something we'd be really concerned with if he didn't have good lung sounds. His oxygen saturation is really good. His blood pressure is good. His heart rate's good. And his blood sugar is good. And he's not running a fever right now.
The firefighters offer to take Martin to the hospital, cautioning he may be waiting there for a while because he's not sick enough to warrant immediate attention.
Okay.
Is this a typical call?
At Maryvale, there's a proud tradition of families living together, and unfortunately, that's the situation for affordability where they're all under one roof.
Engineer Chris West with Engine 25 says it's the tight-knit nature and multi-generational families in Maryvale that may have inadvertently helped spread the virus there.
We have a lot of families that live together, lots of people that they grow up in the house, they stay in the house, their kids grow up in the house. So yes, usually when one person gets it, the whole house is going to get it.
Across the U.S., Latinos and African Americans contracting the virus at a rate 3 times higher than their white neighbors. They're also twice as likely to die from the virus. Arresting the virus's onslaught depends on testing, which Phoenix's mayor tells us is a system near total collapse.
This is the United States of America. We are the world's leading economy. We ought to be able to provide more resources for our sickest residents months into the COVID-19 virus.
This is a free testing site in South Phoenix, an area underserved in testing. It's run by a nonprofit organization, and the goal is to try to test 2,000 people a day. It opens at 6 a.m., but people begin lining up in the middle of the night, including 3 generations of Kiana Cole's family.
What time did you get here this morning?
We got here about 12:31.
Why was it important to get here so early?
So that we can have a spot in line. We wanted to be one of the first to get here so that we'll be able to get tested today.
Is it worth spending a night in a car with an 80-year-old? Yes?
I say well, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's our lives and the lives of our families that we have to protect, so we need to know. Here.
The site, like so many, just can't meet demand, turning away people like Neil Mack, who waited 5.5 hours the last time he came. So today, he showed up at 1 a.m.
Phoenix is a massive city, but one of the few places that actually offers testing without insurance and without appointments is here, and it's privately funded by an NGO.
I don't know who's running it, but I'm glad they are.
The lack of testing, baffling to Lori Nicholson and Denise Suggs, who arrived at 4 a.m.
They are not offering it to us, the low income, the middle class. A lot of people do not have insurance, cannot afford to pay for this, and they are not offering. There's nowhere you can go in Arizona and get this for free.
People with money do get tested, like sports teams, baseball teams, yeah. President, anyone can get tested at any time. But everyday middle income to lower income, this is our only option.
Speaking publicly about the virus for the first time in over a week, Arizona Governor Doug Ducey admitting loosening the stay-at-home orders in May was the primary cause for the rapid escalation in cases in June.
But this positivity is too high. What it means is that the virus is widespread.
We know that there's a reporting lag. Some of the testing is delayed by 7 days because the testing centers are so overwhelmed.
Dr. Sam Durrani is the COVID response chief for Honor Health. Dr. Durrani was with me 2 weeks ago when President Trump held a rally in Phoenix. He was so shocked by the lack of people wearing masks, he started snapping pictures of the crowd.
Definitely at least 1,000 people here. What percentage of them would you say are wearing a mask?
About 1% to 5% probably.
In a city that's going through its surge right now, what does that mean?
Well, it's not good. Any mass gathering right now is going to propagate the spread of COVID-19.
The president's message that night couldn't have been more wrong.
We're doing so well after the plague. It's going away.
Where are we now?
You know, the situation has obviously worsened. In the last 2 weeks, our hospitalizations have gone up by about 80%. It's been a rapid increase.
The more activity that is happening in our economy, the more the spread will continue. Again, validation that you are safer at home.
That safer at home suggestion only effective if everyone in your home is negative for the virus. And ideally, Senia Lopez's boyfriend, Martin Molina, should have been able to isolate himself when he came home from the hospital waiting for his results. But that's not their reality.
Is there a place where he can have a room to his own without everybody around?
To be honest, no.
Are you concerned at all that he might infect the rest of the family?
I was concerned because, you know, we all live together, my babies, especially my two little babies, because they're my life. Obviously, the four of them, they're my life.
Late today, Martin got his test results back. He has COVID-19. For Nightline, I'm Matt Gutman in Phoenix.
Our thanks to Matt. New CDC numbers show Latinos are getting infected with COVID-19 at 3 times the rate as whites. Now to break down the racial disparity, earlier I spoke with Dr. Marina Del Rios. Dr. Del Rios, thanks so much for joining us. First question, why are we seeing the virus hitting the Latino community so hard?
A lot of Latinos have continued to work through stay-at-home orders and have had to continue making all those essential areas of the economy still function while the rest of us have been trying to keep safe.
I mean, what would you say to patients who have to make that choice, right? Whether to go out to work to feed their families or stay at home to avoid getting sick?
Every time that I tell my patients who are Latinos, often they're the head of the households, the one breadwinner in the family, that they have to take time off. Then they often tell me, well, what am I going to do? If I don't show up to work, I might lose my job. If I don't work, it's money that's not coming to my household. It's a very difficult decision for a lot of people.
Talk to me about the generational impact, right? Because culturally, family means everything. In so many households, you'll find 1, 2, 3 generations living under the same roof.
I think that one of the main reasons why this has been so devastating in the Latino population is that many of us live in multi-generational family homes. You know, and so what that means is that you often have people that are more vulnerable than perhaps the person that is moving in and out of the household for work or for school or for whatever, and bringing oftentimes infection when they have mild symptoms or even asymptomatic, and with that affecting other people in the household that are more vulnerable. And I've seen entire families be hit by this. And so I'm hoping that, you know, as these states are now seeing increases in numbers, that they learn from some of those states that have been there and that they start thinking through how to best reach out to those communities that inevitably are going to be affected.
Dr. Marina Del Rios, thank you so much for your time. We wish you and your family and your friends all the best. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
And finally tonight, watching over our frontline workers. Like clockwork every day for the past 4 months, Robert Johnson, a security guard at a medical center in Downey, California, cheering on doctors, nurses, and staff after their exhausting 12-hour shifts, celebrating their tireless dedication, a true guardian angel. That's all right. That's Nightline for this evening. You can watch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.